listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are joined by Kevin Freeman, one of our senior fellows at the Center for Security Policy, an internationally recognized warrior in the economic warfare space, certainly a specialist in those matters. Witness his two best-selling books on the subject. Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack, and his first, Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. And we'll be returning to that topic in just a moment. Kevin is also the founder of GlobalEconomicWarfare.com, a truly go-to resource on all of these issues. Kevin, it's good to have you back.
Thank you, Frank. Great to be here.
I was just talking with our friend Gordon Chang about his take on the president's travels in Asia. I'd like to get yours.
You know, I think the president achieved a few things. He got some business deals, but what he did and the approach he took to the trip underscores the notion that we've been talking about for some time, that we tend to look at the globe as a marketplace and our enemies perceive it as a battle space. And so he comes home talking about, I got, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars of trade deals, and I applaud him for working on the trade deficit. It's important. I applaud him for confronting hard issues. But the Chinese have been and will likely continue to steal us blind economically. They view this as a war. We view it as a business deal.
And evidence that they are stealing us blind was not front and center in the course of these conversations, as best I can take it, but certainly had to have been in the backdrop, notably buying up our technologies and stealing what they can't buy, and terms of trade relations with American companies that are highly, highly prejudicial, I think it's fair to say. Is that about it, or am I missing something?
That's about it. And if the president is able to get them to come to the table, not in the midst of an unrestricted war, which is what they've been doing, and treat us as trading partners, that would be a huge positive. I just didn't see that he made that progress on this trip.
Yeah, I fear not either. And in fact, there is reason to believe that the Chinese are continuing to beaver away at an effort you've described with us frequently, Kevin Freeman, and that is the effort by the Chinese, the Russians, and others to supplant our currency. Speaking of currency operations and manipulation, I did want, though, to turn to another subject you're following closely, Kevin Freeman, and that is what appears to be the United Arab Emirates' economic, or at least financial, warfare against Qatar. What are we to make of that?
Well, we know this because there was a leak to the Intercept newspaper that demonstrated that there was an effort based on a cyber theft of the United Arab Emirates ambassador to the United States. They hacked into his email account, found an email from a bank laying out a very detailed PowerPoint plan. This is how we could take Qatar down using financial warfare. The same kind of attack that I believe that Qatar used against the United States in 2008.
Irony of ironies, isn't it? Does this suggest that the UAE may have learned about these techniques from their Qatari neighbors?
Well, it's possible. What they're talking about doing to Qatar is essentially bidding up the credit default swaps, making it impossible for them to sell debt and to manipulate the yield curve in such a way that they're forced to defend their currency and they spend their sovereign wealth reserves defending their currency and defending the peg to the dollar. These are the same kind of things that we talked about that were used against the United States, used against Lehman Brothers in particular. And so they likely have learned it from that process. We've learned a lot since 2008. I guess other nations have learned a lot. Here in the United States, we tend to be naive about these sorts of things. But full-out economic warfare is underway right now, and this is further evidence of that.
So around the world, if not directed at us, we'd best be alive to the fact that it is also being directed at us, as you have indicated. Let me ask you about a particular vulnerability that I know you're quite seized with in terms of our debt and pensions and the possibility that they might be targeted for economic warfare by enemies in the future.
In 2013, there was a U.S. official that came out and said, if we don't arrest our spending habits, we're going to exceed our gross domestic product with debt, total outstanding debt of the federal government, and we might do it as early as 2024. Well, that would be where debt is greater than 100% of GDP, which is important because if you think about it, if your debt is greater than your salary in a whole year, it's kind of hard to manage the debt. Well, our government's debt is now 105% of our gross domestic product. So here we are 7 years beforehand and 5% over the horrible target that was projected. That just puts us in a weak position for other nations that want to take advantage and manipulate that debt, dethrone our currency, and all the things that we've talked about. That puts us in Qatar's position on the receiving end of some pretty nasty economic warfare. And it will hit individuals. It doesn't just hit the government. And that's the problem that we have with state and local pensions that are underfunded. If governments can't fund their pension with a roaring stock market and interest rates as low as they are today, they will never be able to fund those pensions in a recession. And that's kind of the big nasty that's out there that few people are willing to talk about now.
Yeah, that would presumably pale by comparison to the effects of higher interest rates, which would be a very predictable result if our currency is removed from its current vantage point of the reserve currency of the world, would it not?
Oh, absolutely. And those are mutually reinforcing factors. It's a nasty cycle that starts when higher interest rates cause recessions, which lend to higher interest rates, because normally recessions lend to lower interest rates. But in this case, when you have a currency collapsing and so forth, it's a death spiral. And what happens is that you counted on this pension that was promised by your city or by your company. You've been counting on that pension and you realize all of a sudden they're broke. They're out of money and they can't pay it.
Kevin, one of the things that some people are concerned might contribute to the deficit, or at least to our debt, is the tax reform bill that is now being mulled in Congress. I guess there's two different versions of it, one in the Senate, one in the House. Have you had an opportunity to look at those and think about whether they're new potential contributors to some of the underlying economic vulnerabilities that you're worried about?
Well, when you look at tax reform, the scoring people never look at the dynamic effects. They always look at the static effects. And the assumption is that it's just going to increase the debt because you're receiving less money in income. The structure of the tax reform is what's essential. And if we don't reform our corporate tax structure, we will continue to lose businesses overseas if we don't repatriate and so forth. So to the degree that we include tax repatriation, U.S. companies that have earned money overseas that are not bringing it back because they don't want to pay the high tax rates on it. If we lower the tax rates and allow them to bring that money home, that actually will shore up our economy. And that's where I'm holding out hope, because that is our weapon back in the dollar fight that could put us in there's $2 trillion that our companies have earned that they're holding in banks overseas. If they bring that back to the United States, we can grow our way out of this. We can win this economic war. So that's the big carrot. And correcting corporate taxes is another issue. Just lowering the corporate tax rates to make them competitive internationally, that would put us also in better situation relative to our global competitors. So I'm actually hopeful for tax reform. I think it will be a positive. I think in the long run, if it's structured right, it can be a positive for the debt and the deficit.
We'll be following it closely, as will you, I know. My friend Kevin Freeman, thank you so much for joining us today and for the great work you do with us at the Center for Security Policy and also, of course, at globaleconomicwarfare.com. Folks, check it out. Kevin, we'll talk with you again next week. Next up, we'll talk with Patrick Dunleavy about training our first lines of defense against the enemy within, including certain mosques. That and more straight ahead.